Once upon a time, every marriage begins as a fairy tale. The hopes, dreams, and the love ever after. I'm Ken Boyce with the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and co-host of The Life You've Always Wanted. February 14th will be here soon, and now's the time to make this a Valentine's to remember. This year, give them the fairy tale. Imagine Friday evening walking into a grand ballroom, relaxing, laughing, and rediscovering each other while learning the secrets of an ever-after love. Saturday morning, waking up to a breakfast to renew your strength, a few thoughts to stir your soul, and the rest of the afternoon is for you. Finally that evening, a candlelight dinner and dance. Do you see the sparkle in their eyes? Can you feel the music and love as you dance into the night? How would you finish such an enchanted evening? This is a Valentine's to remember. Surprise your sweetheart with a marriage excitement weekend getaway. Love Ever After, February 15th and 16th at the Chateau on the Lake, hosted by WK Boyce. Come discover the secrets of a love ever after. Call 417-882-6767 or register online at springfieldmfi.com.
Good Monday morning. It is time now for The Life You've Always Wanted. Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to have everyone listening to us this morning. And if you are listening to us, we'd like to give us a call this morning at the station. And our number is 862-9977. That's 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056 or on cell phone is star 56. Again, it's good to have everyone listening this morning. If you'd like to call a friend and tell them to tune in to The Life You've Always Wanted. This is a program that's dedicated to the concept that we can have a life that's worth living, have a life that's fulfilling, have a life that brings happiness and has a great sense of peace and contentment about it. I know people have talked with us about this program and have asked, is it really possible? It really is possible because there are principles that we can live by that are absolutely essential to build life upon. There are people who want to live their own lives and go their own way and live according to how they feel at the moment. Certainly, there's no one that's going to stop them from that to a certain extent. But there are principles that we need to learn to live with ourselves, to learn to live with someone else, and to learn to live in a family. And until we learn those principles and live by those principles, then we will not have the peace, the contentment, the fulfillment, and the love that we all are desperately seeking in our lives, in our individual lives, our marriages, and our families. So this morning we're going to talk about love, and we're going to continue. We talked about this last week. We're going to continue talking about that this week. How do we love each other? Why is it necessary to love each other? Now, Leo Biscaglia said, a loving relationship is one in which the loved one is free to be himself, to laugh with me but never at me, to cry with me but never because of me, to love life, to love himself, to love being loved. Such a relationship is based upon freedom and can never grow in a jealous heart. The two become one. That's what Jesus said. And when two strong people enter into a relationship as they're loving themselves, they can truly love each other. But if you have individuals in a marriage relationship or even in a friendship who only love themselves, that relationship is doomed to fail. Now, we need to understand that. That marriage is never all about me. It is never always about you. But marriage is always about giving of ourselves to one another. Loving one another is giving ourselves to one another and being ourselves in the presence of each other.
If you'd like to give us a call this morning, the phone number is 862-9977. If you're outside the area or if you're listening online, give us a call toll-free at 1-800-375-0056. We know many friends and family that listen to this either via the internet, streaming audio. You can go to springfieldmfi.com. So if you're out driving around in your car and you like what you hear, but you're getting ready to go into the office, etc., go to springfieldmfi.com and click on the radio link there. During the live show, that is a live streaming audio, it'll go right into your computer. Later on this afternoon, or if any other time when you have some time and you want to go back and listen to any of the programs, these are all archived for you. So you can go to springfieldmfi.com for Marriage and Family Institute, MFI, and listen to the radio shows anytime you like at your leisure. Just click on the radio archive link there, and the most recent one is at the top, and they go down from there. Every week, this is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Now, Springfield Marriage and Family Institute has been around since August 2006, when it was founded. W.K. Boyce is the executive director and has over 18 years' experience in Springfield with marriages, with families, counseling people on how to live and how to get the life they've always wanted. Prior to the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, he was the director of the Family Life Center here in Springfield. And so W.K. has been around Springfield. He's been helping families here in the Ozarks, in our area, achieve that success with their lives, with their families, raising their children. The experience and the knowledge is there. If you would like to give W.K. a call, if you have some questions about maybe how things are happening in life, give us a call at the office. Phone number is 882-6767. That's area code 417-882-6767. And you can call and set up a time to come in and speak with W.K. Anyone who's ever talked to him knows he's about the most approachable person on the planet, I think. There isn't anyone I know that hadn't been able to go up and talk to W.K. And it's always great when you have someone that has that knowledge and just feels so relaxed, they go, wow, that's exactly what I needed. So if you have questions in your life, in your marriage, raising kids, anything that's happening, the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute is there for you. It's your resource. It's your choice. That's one of the biggest things that we talk about on this show. Our life is our choice. What we make it, what we get from it, what we put into it, and the knowledge we have, the knowledge we use. Another thing I want to bring out real quick, mark your calendars February 15th and 16th. This is the Chateau on the Lake. This is a marriage excitement getaway. We do a lot of things at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and a lot of one-on-one counseling, whether it's with individuals, couples, families. We also do seminars and workshops. Some companies and daycare centers, things like that, bring us in to do in-services to help either the staff or the staff and families be able to parent kids and raise kids and get some great information there. But one of the best things we do is we give couples a time for what they need most, and that's time to get away. And this year we are at the Chateau on the Lake, February 15th and 16th. This is a Love Ever After weekend. This is a brand new seminar WK has put together, but it's more than just a seminar. This is a time to get back into each other, to rediscover each other at a magnificent hotel down the lake. So mark on your calendars February 15th and 16th at Chateau on the Lake. If you want, you can register online at springfieldmfi.com, or you can give us a call at the office at 417-882-6767. This year is a magical time, and with Valentine's Day coming up, it's always difficult to try to figure out what we're going to do this year. How do we make it better than last year? How do we make things fit? This is your opportunity. Go to springfieldmfi.com. On the homepage, there's a post on the right-hand side. Just click on that and you'll see everything that's going on that weekend. It is an absolutely romantic, magnificent getaway. A time for you to rediscover each other, to spend time with each other, and take some knowledge to really supercharge that relationship. So hopefully we'll see you down there. There is a early registration by January 15th. You save $100 on this weekend getaway. So if you register prior to January 15th, you can pay by January 31st, but you save $100 if you register by January 15th. So get online, look us up, either register online or give us a call there at the office, 417-882-6767. It's a magnificent time.
I believe in the heart of every woman, there is an ever-after love. I believe that. In all the years of counseling and all the years of working with men and women, I have found in the heart of women a desire to be loved forever, a desire to be loved for who they are, to be accepted unconditionally for who they are, for their husband to really know them and to love who they are with the love from his heart. And I think that it's every man's responsibility to know how to tap into the love that's ever after in our heart. Now, guys, I've said this many times that as men, we determine the kind of marriage we have. If you're not satisfied with your marriage, you don't need to point your finger out to anyone else but to yourself. If you're not happy in your marriage, you need to examine yourself and how you're loving your wife. One time there was a man came up to a preacher and he says, I don't love my wife anymore. And he says, well, for goodness sakes, go home and start loving her. That's what we have to do. It's up to us to determine that kind of love that we receive from her. It is so important. Now, I know that there's a lot of variables, a lot of dynamics, and there's a lot of issues that couples have, and I understand that. But at bottom line, fundamental, is that women want to be loved and accepted for who they are and have the opportunity to love her husband the way that she truly wants to. And so we need to really understand that. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. I've had couples come to me after 3 to 5 years of marriage and say the spark's gone. All that spark that we had at the very beginning is faded, and now we just don't love each other anymore. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that because the love that is from a place where time has no meaning, that kind of love is intended to be in our marriage throughout our whole life. That doesn't mean that the excitement and the enthusiasm, the power of that first sexual response in the first sexual years of marriage diminish. Well, yeah, it can. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't have to. Every day, we wake up with a different person. Every day is a brand new day. We wake up with a different person every day. And we need to understand that if we study our spouse, if we study who they are, if we really listen to what they say, if we really want and hear what they are thinking and feeling and needing and wanting and expecting, then we can tap into and nurture the love that will last throughout our lifetime. Someone once said, when people go into marriages with the expectations of lasting love, whether they are arranged by parents, whether those marriages are a personal matchmaker, are ignited by chemistry, love and marriage have the best chance of enduring. When you go into marriage with the expectations of that love lasting. Now, consider the possibility. What if there was a law passed that there are no more divorces? The person you marry is the person you're going to stay with all of your life.
For better or for worse?
For better or for worse. That would really take on new meaning in our vows, for better or for worse. And the phrase out of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, final chapter, choose wisely. Don't choose poorly. Choose wisely. And I think we'd take a lot more interest in really choosing how we choose the spouse that we'd stay with the rest of our life. That love is intended to last until death do us part. That's the vow. That love is intended to see us through sickness and in health, for richer, for poor, for better, for worse. What do we expect in our marriage? How do we keep love alive? How do we tap into and keep that forever after love in our hearts and in our marriage between us as husbands and wives? One of the worst mistakes couples can really make upon themselves is to divorce. Now, I know they think that that's the fix. And I know that many people divorce. But one of the worst mistakes couples can make is to divorce instead of attempting to work things through. Instead of really wanting to level with each other. Really share what's on your heart and your mind. And just level with one another. What do you need? What do you want? What do you expect? How can I show you how I love you every day? How can you show me that you love me every day? What is it that you do that whenever you do it, I feel cared for? What do I do that whenever I do it, you feel cared for? You know, most couples have never told that to one another. But we need to. We need to. We need to communicate with one another to keep that love alive. We need to share with one another who we are every day. We need to share our hearts and our minds and our dreams and our goals every day. We need to share our disappointments and our heartbreak and the frustrations and the resentments every day, because that's who we are today. One of the worst things we can do as a couple is not talk, is not share what we're disappointed in or share how we truly love each other. You know, there's an axiom in communication theory that says we cannot not communicate. And even our silence is some kind of communication about the statement of relationship we have. So we need to verbally, overtly, intentionally communicate with each other, talk with one another. You'd be surprised. You will really be surprised what you really have to say when you begin to really talk. So what I'm saying to all us guys and all of you women, all of us husbands and all of you wives, is that we've got to keep the love alive. That it's there. That just as you women want to have love expressed to you and want to have an ever after love, that's really what we want as men as well. And so if we will just say that, just admit that, that's what we have to have in our life. That's what I need. We cannot live life unloved. We cannot live in marriages unloved. We won't live in marriages unloved. And that's a sad thing.
You know, as we're preparing for the show this morning, I go through and I'm reading a lot of this material. And WK has done a great job on a lot of the research. And one thing that keeps coming back up in all of this ideas on how to make a marriage last, one of the top things is don't stop dating. Now think about that one. At the beginning of our relationships, we're getting to know each other. We're getting out on our dates. We're becoming more involved. We're starting to open up a little more, to trust a little more, to love a little more. And we get to this point, we're going, you know, I just can't imagine life without this person. And then we get married, and what do? We stop. We stop going out on dates. We stop getting to know each other. We stop spending time with each other. We get back into more of a quote-unquote normal routine. Well, we're both working. We're both taking on this responsibility and that responsibility, this extracurricular activity. Oh, wait a second. We got kids on the way. Now we've got three. They've got all of their extracurricular activities. It doesn't happen immediately. It happens very gradually. We let go of our relationship. We let go of our love. We let go of our marriage. I know that's hard to hear. But it is each person's responsibility to keep it alive, to keep it going. If a marriage fails, whose fault is it? There's two people in the marriage. I was reading some of the notes here, and one person put it, at the beginning, it was you too. You fell in love. No one else's help. It's you two that can keep the love alive, and has to. It's on us. Do we value our lives? Do we value our families? Do we value our marriages? The first thing we have to look at is ourselves. And we can make it. And if we sit back and we go, well, you know, it's okay, I'm going to take responsibility for my marriage. Now what? If you can't think of anything, give WK a call. Talk to your preacher. Talk to your counselor, someone that you understand, that you see in their life what you want in yours. It's out there. We just have to find it.
Yeah, we do. You know, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, I love a lot of what she wrote, but she said, I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I'm with you. I love you not only for what you have made of yourself, but for what you're making of me. I love you for the part of me that you bring out. That is connection. That's bond. That's loving one another. Someone else, I'm not sure who wrote this, but it says, when I saw you, I was afraid to meet you. When I met you, I was afraid to kiss you. When I kissed you, I was afraid to love you. Now that I love you, I'm afraid to lose you. Wouldn't it be great if we had that attitude all through our marriage? Wouldn't it be great if, as I said last week, when our spouse walks into the room, they hear this, this sense of wonder, this sense of honor, this sense of amazement that this person, out of everyone we could have met, has come into our life and we have joined our life with theirs. They have joined their life with ours. And it's a great honor to live in relationship with each other.
I was reading a book about the private life of Ronald Reagan. It's written by Jim Kuhn, who was his executive assistant. He was basically at Reagan's disposal. He was one-on-one with President Reagan. And the one thing he commented was that every time he walked into a room and Nancy was there, Ron lit up. Ronald Reagan was not complete without Nancy. She completed him. And every time he saw her, sparks would fly. Do we do that?
Yeah, he even commented that when Nancy would walk into the room, he felt like a kid on Christmas morning. I'm telling you guys, that's hard to beat. If we told our wife, every time you come into the room when I see you, I feel like a kid on Christmas morning, it'd make her day. Mm-hmm. But to say something that is that authentic, to say something that is that honest about how you feel about your spouse, in a sense of with such honor and admiration that we need to have for them and that we do have for them. We just need to communicate that to one another. How do we keep love alive? How do we do that? As Ken said a minute ago, we have responsibilities. We get busy. After the first 1 to 2 to 3 years of marriage, we get into our jobs, we get into having kids, we get into church, we get into all kinds of activities, and we get busy. And the thing that suffers the most is the marriage. And when kids come along, especially because of the bonding that's necessary between mother and child and then father and child, many times the marriage takes a back seat to the other relationships in the family. But the core relationship in the life of those kids is that marriage. The sense of security the kids have in that family is the security of that marriage. That's the reason why we need to take time for the marriage. And I know it's hard the first time mom has to let someone else take care of that baby. But it's essential that you let someone else care for that baby and you and your husband go out for an evening. Or you go away for a weekend. It's essential that you begin that separation because that's what's needed for the marriage. The children know if we have a priority, if our marriage is priority, or if they're a priority. And to tell you the truth, parents, our kids can't stand that much pressure. If they are the priority in the family, if they're the priority in the marriage, our kids can't stand that much pressure. They need to know that mom and dad have priority with one another in the marriage.
You know, WK, one of the amazing things is that every time we have one of these marriage excitement weekends, like it's coming up February 15th and 16th mm-hmm. down at the Chateau, so many couples, there's a certain amount of anxiety getting there and what to expect. But almost invariably, every time at the end, people wish it didn't end. It seemed like it would take forever to get there, to go through it. And then once it's over, it's like, no, I don't want this to end.
Yeah.
Can we come back next weekend?
Every time.
Every single time. And people go back and tell their friends, you got to come here this next time. This was exactly what we needed. This is the starting point for a fantastic marriage, is the time that we get away and we spend with our spouse, rediscovering each other, putting time and effort back into that love, and discovering some of the secrets of how to bring it even to a greater love than we ever had thought possible. If that's what you want, go to springfieldmfi.com and register today.
And read what some of the people who have attended past seminars have said about the Marriage Excitement Weekends.
Oh, yeah. It is absolutely incredible. This is the start. This is the beginning point. If this is the life you always wanted, if being happily married, being in love with each other for a lifetime is what you want, we have to do something to achieve that. This is the beginning, and we'll be back.
TOMA. T-O-M-A. Did you know you have one? This is Ken Boyce, Marketing Director for the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and co-host of the radio show, The Life You've Always Wanted, heard here each Monday morning at 10 a.m. What's your TOMA? Let's test it. Don't worry, here are the answers. Bill Gates, Coca-Cola, and the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Test, who's the world's richest man? What's the number one soda company? Who can save a marriage, even lift depression? Congratulations, you remembered, that's TOMA. Top of Mind Awareness.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your host with WK and Ken Boyce on the second half of the show.
You know, one of the things I ask parents to do a lot is ask your children, how are you doing as a parent? say, you know, how am I doing as a dad here? Or if you're mom, how am I doing as a mom? And I think you'll find the children are pretty honest. They have a pretty good perspective about how we're doing as parents. But it's also essential, I think, to listen to our children about how they see us as mom and dad, as husband and wife, and what our love means between us as a couple.
A group of professionals asked some kids between the ages of 4 and 8, what does love mean? I always love these. Rebecca, age 8. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even though his hands have arthritis too. That's love. Carl, age 5. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Love is when you go out and give someone most of your french fries without making them give you any of theirs. Chrissy, age 6. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Love is when mommy takes coffee to daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him just to make sure it tastes okay. Danny, age 7. There are two kinds of love. Our love, God's love, and he made them both.
Jenny. Ah, that's good.
Jenny, age 4. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Out of the mouths of babes, I tell you.
Oh, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Jessica, age 8. I thought those were some of the great, just right on nail on the head. These are some of the cutest ones here, though. Love is when your puppy licks your face even when you've left him alone all day. Marianne, age 4. I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all of her old clothes and then has to go out and buy new ones. Lauren, age 4. I let my big sister pick on me because mom says she only picks on me because she loves me. So I pick on my baby sister because I love her. Bethany, 4 years old. Mark, age 6. Love is when mommy sees daddy on the toilet and she doesn't even think it's gross. That's the meaning of love.
Out of the mouths of children. Children are so perceptive and so honest and so loving. They recognize love as it is for what it is. So we just need to hear it from our children. If we have children, ask your child, how are we doing as a parent? How do you see mom and dad loving each other? Maybe in for a real surprise. There's some ways to keep love alive in our marriages. I want to give some very practical things to do. I know people very often say, well, give us something practical. So, you know, something kind of nail it down and paint it red. Now, what can I do? Well, first of all, don't leave home without love. Don't leave home without showing love or expressing love. Kiss your partner before leaving home. Add a hug while you're kissing. You know, 2 minutes that starts your day off right. And don't forget to kiss them when you come back home. You know, the 4 most important times of the day, number 1 is when you wake up in the morning and how you greet each other when you wake up as a couple. Second of all is how you leave each other for the day. Again, how you kiss one another, hug each other, express our love for one another as a couple. The 3rd time is when we come back together and greet each other and reconnect after having been gone all day or a great period of time. And then the 4th time, most important time of the day, is how we say goodnight to one another. How we express our love and our concern for each other as we say goodnight. And then start the process all over again the next day. So don't leave home without the love. Number 2, keep that date. As Ken said earlier in the program, if you don't have a regular date night every week, create one. And then that way you won't lose your identity as a couple. I know most wives like to go out on a date at least twice a month. That's kind of the average that I always hear. When I ask the wives, how often do you want to go out on a date with her husband sitting right next to her? She says, oh, at least twice a month, if possible, once a week.
So what is she expecting on that date?
She's expecting to have a great time, to be with him. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Dates don't have to cost a lot of money, guys. In fact, most women prefer not to have real extravagant dates because they know that you can't afford those most of the time. But just spend time with her. Show her that you've been thoughtful and that you've considered what you can do, what would be meaningful to her on the date. You take all the steps, guys. You plan the date. You make arrangements for the kids. You make reservations at the restaurant. You take the initiative and you do all that. That's what she's really wanting. That answer your question?
Yes, but I know there's a bunch of us out there still wanting more specifics because what's on a woman's mind is the biggest question in the universe. It's the one that scientists won't answer.
Ask. Ask. That's all we've got to do. Just ask. You know, if we don't know, we need to ask. There are no dumb questions.
Except the ones not asked.
Except the ones not asked. That's it. The third thing we can do as a couple is conserve energy. And what I mean by that is shower together and save water. You know? And well, it's a real incentive also for keeping off those extra pounds. Shower together. Conserve energy. And have those moments of intimacy.
And remember, this is for saving the planet. We're trying to be green here, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, right. Give each other a break. Give each other a break. When you come home from work, give each other 30 minutes to unwind and then to leave work behind. I hear from guys a lot, especially. I get home and I'm hit full in the face with everything that has happened in the day and what's gone wrong and how I need to fix it. And he says, what I really need is just to have some alone time for a few minutes, kind of shift gears, is how they put it. Okay, so we need to give each other a break, especially both husband and wife are working. And where we go in and we can just relax, change clothes, shift gears, and come back and really meet each other. Another thing I really encourage couples and families to do is that is return to the table. Start eating together as a couple and as a family. That is not done much or as much as it used to be. And studies show that families that eat together, that children do better in school, that girls are less involved in eating disorders, that boys are less involved with drug use, simply by families sharing a table together, eating together. Also, don't let chores get in the way. You know, try to break up chores so you don't end up trying to do everything on the weekend. And I know that a lot of couples, a lot of marriages, that's all you do on weekends is you get things done around the house that you didn't do through the week. So you don't have time to spend together. And what we're talking about is couple time. And it's intentional. And it's planned. And it's necessary to spend that time together. But we've got to do that. Think ahead and plan that.
And one of the things, throughout our careers, guys, as we're in our, and I'm in my mid-30s now, between late 20s all the way up to mid-40s, this is a time where we're working hard. We're trying to provide for our family. We're trying to provide for our future and our retirement. And we're, without a doubt, at the prime of our life for being able to do work, hard work of any kind, whether it's outdoor manual labor, whether it's in the office, taking care of things intellectually, etc. It doesn't matter what your job is. But our job is not our life. Listen to that one. There come times when we have to work extra. When something's being started up and you have to give a little extra attention to get this up and going. But our job is not our life. And at the end of our life, our kids won't care how much work we did. Our wives won't care how much work we did, how hard we worked, if we sacrificed our families for it. There's a time to work and there's a time to go home and be in the presence of the family. The kids need it. The wives need it. My dog needs it. He just wants to go out and throw the frisbee, throw the ball, and have some fun. He needs daddy time too. So as we look at our work schedules, if there's a short-term emergency or something that needs some extra attention, make that understood. Let the family understand that I'm not going to be here as often, but it's not because I don't want to be. But don't make that the norm. We need to be home with our families.
Yeah, you know, that exclusive emotional caring bond between two people, the husband and wife, is absolutely the strongest bond that we have. And it's one that we need to be committed to. But it's also one we need to have fun in. Where has the fun gone in the marriage? Remember when you were dating and you went out and just had a ball, went out and had fun. And somewhere along the line and growing up and having a family, getting children, getting the job, getting the raise, getting the promotion.
Getting the mortgage, getting the new car, getting the second car, having three payments still to pay. Sorry, I had to
getting
ask
the boat. I understand. Getting the boat, getting the club membership, all kinds of things. Where has the fun gone? You know, we spend so much time spending money to have fun that by the time we get around to having fun, it's been a lot of work. The same thing is true about vacations. Vacations can be so planned and so rigidly organized that they're more work than fun. And as families, as couples, we need to have fun. There are two kinds of relationships that are doomed to fail. The first one is commitment without fun. And the second type of relationship is fun without commitment. There has to be a balance of both. We need both. There always has to be commitment, and that's the bottom line, but we've got to have fun. We've got to be with one another, to have that creativity, that spontaneity, that laughter, that sometimes the silliness, the things that, how we express ourselves or what we're interested in and how we play the sports or how we play the games, and just have fun. We need that in our love relationship. Mm-hmm. We need to have fun.
You know, part of what we were also going along with is don't let the chores get in the way at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get overworked in the house. Supper doesn't have to be a 3 or 4 course meal. We can have a quick meal and keep from having so many dishes or so much else to clean up.
Great point.
Go out to lunch. Have lunch with your spouse. Even go to your spouse's work. I can do this. I go to the Cox Hospital. My wife works over there. I get to go have lunch with her. Hospital food's not really that bad over there, but I get to spend time with her. Don't start out your morning in such a hurry.
How do you do that?
I know waking up in the morning, you sit there and your mind's barely awake as it is, and then you have to make the decision of, okay, shower, shave, what am I going to wear? Is it iron? Do I need to go find it? Where's the laundry? Did we do the laundry? Do all that the night before. Lay out your clothes the night before. Do a little bit of ironing if you need to the night before. Hang it up and go to sleep so when you wake up, it's already done. When you wake up, spend some time with your spouse. Whether it's there in bed just talking or waking up together, whether it's going in and having breakfast or taking her out to breakfast or taking him out to breakfast.
Because you have the time.
Because you have the time. We make the time. I like this one. Instead of getting stuck in traffic, go out to a restaurant. You don't have to have a full meal, but you can have a snack, get something to drink, and just sit and talk. While everyone else is stuck in traffic complaining about the car in front of them and the car behind them that's tailgating, go somewhere. Make a date of it. Have that time down. Time to relax and unwind after a day's work.
And there's some other things that we can do. Look your partner in the eye when you're talking. Engage their heart. Engage their soul. Look them in the eyes. A lot of couples don't do that. When they talk, they look away from each other. Just be aware of how you talk with one another. Remind them also, at least weekly, how much you appreciate those good qualities and enumerate them. Be specific. Invest time in your partnership having fun together, as I said a minute ago. And both verbally and behaviorally, let your spouse know how lucky you feel to be with them. And provide an abundance of appreciation. That's that honor that I keep talking about.
Mm-hmm. I know you're out there listening and you're going, WK, you're not telling me anything I hadn't already heard before. Okay. Well, if you've heard it before, or if this is the first time, I'll give you credit. A lot of people, this may be the first time they've ever heard anything like this. The most important thing out of all of this, and this is not put anywhere on any of these sheets that I've got, is to repeat the process. You got steps 1 through 10, you repeat and you go back to the top every time, every day. We have to repeat this.
As we said last week, an ever after love is accomplished only one day at a time. And we want to have the glowing experience of ever after love throughout a lifetime. But we have to focus on it one day at a time. Some people like families, it's the people they can't stand. Some people like the idea of marriage, it's their spouse they can't stand, or that they don't want to express their love to. We have to express our love to one another every day without fail.
And there are other times we need to express that love with special occasions. And we need to think ahead for these special occasions. Gentlemen, we just finished up Christmas. We finished up Thanksgiving. I know we're kind of taking a break now. Valentine's Day is coming up. And next to her birthday, that's probably the most important day where everyone's expecting something else, expecting a little more, expecting to be told, I love you, in a lot of different ways. this Valentine's Day weekend coming up, February 15th and 16th, this Valentine's Day, make it a Valentine's Day to remember. Call and make your reservation today for the Chateau on the Lake for the everlasting love, marriage excitement getaway. Go to SpringfieldMFI for MarriageAndFamilyInstitute.com, SpringfieldMFI.com, and click on the Marriage Excitement Getaway poster there, and register today. Take the initiative, take some planning, and lay this out. Wives, kidnap your husbands. Take him. If you're saying, well, my husband really, he's not going to want to do this. If you take and spend the time, you may end up with a very happy hostage. So go online, SpringfieldMFI.com, click on the poster there for the Marriage Excitement Getaway and register online today. If you register before January 15th, you even save some money. And we want people to save as much money as they can. Tell your friends, tell your family. Go to SpringfieldMFI.com. If this is what you're wanting in your life, if you want someone, a friend in your family to say, you know, you've got to hear this, have them listen to this on the radio archive later. And if your marriage, you're just not sure which way to turn, not sure how to answer, how do we fix this? You have the resource. You have the choice. Give us a call at the office at 417-882-6767 and talk to WK. Talk to Marty. Talk to Leslie. Talk to Ty. We have people that have spent their life studying how to help people get the life they always wanted. I'm Ken.
I'm WK.
It's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.